The Senate votes tomorrow, closing this chapter of our nation's history. That'll mean the end of Impeachment, a Daily podcast, too. But this doesn't have to be a goodbye. We will continue podcasting daily under a new title that we'll announce in a few days. What I can say right now is that we'll continue to follow national politics and sometimes other things Monday through Friday in this very consequential and action-packed year. We do this daily on my live radio show, and we'll pick the best conversation from the show each day for the podcast that is soon to come. This is Impeachment, a daily podcast from WNYC. I'm Brian Lehrer. It's Tuesday, February 4th. I actually think we're in a very interesting moment in the impeachment trial endgame right now. The House managers and Trump defense team have done their closing arguments. And from yesterday afternoon through 4 o'clock tomorrow, the members of the Senate are finally allowed to speak after having to sit there silently through the trial under penalty of prison. Now they get to say what they actually think about all this. And for some of them, at least, it's not black and white. Let me play a few clips. First, here's one line, short, but a fundamental challenge to Republican senators in the Trump era from Adam Schiff's closing arguments.
Truth matters to you. Right matters to you. You are decent. He is not who you are.
He is not who you are. But if they say nothing about abhorrent behavior on Ukraine or other things, maybe they are who he is. Here's how one centrist Republican tried to thread that needle yesterday while announcing she will still vote to acquit. It's Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski.
The president's behavior was shameful and wrong. His personal interests do not take precedence over those of this great nation. The president has the responsibility to uphold the integrity and the honor of the office, not just for himself, but for all future presidents. Degrading the office by actions or even name-calling weakens it for future presidents, and it weakens our country.
Lisa Murkowski, and she joins a growing list of other Republicans in saying the president's behavior was bad, but impeachment is the wrong remedy. Susan Page is my guest, Washington Bureau Chief for USA Today. Susan, how long is that list getting?
Well, and I don't think it's that long, actually. If people, the Republicans willing to say that what the president did was wrong, you've got Rubio and Alexander and Romney and Collins and Murkowski. I mean, you don't really
Joni Ernst of Iowa, Rob Portman of Ohio, to varying degrees.
Okay, so you're not even using all the fingers on my two hands.
Ben Sasse of Nebraska says Lamar Alexander speaks for many of us.
Yeah, really? That's what he says.
That's what he says.
Well, he won't even repeat the words. Mm. I mean, I'm just saying that. You don't need fingers and toes to count the number of Republicans willing to say even that. We don't know if there'll be a single Republican defector on the vote Wednesday on whether to convict the president. You know, you played that. I like the clip you played from Adam Schiff. There was another clip that I thought was interesting. Adam Schiff, I thought, was pretty eloquent in his closing arguments on Monday. Well, another thing he said, one person with courage is a majority. That's not the exact quote, but that's close to it. And that was really directed at these individual Republican senators. There are only two or three of them who might possibly consider voting to convict President Trump. But in fact, what is more likely is that there will be Democratic defections to acquit him.
And there may be, and we'll go over some of those names too. But let me continue to push this other way of looking at it a little bit. With that list of Republicans who maybe you can count on your fingers, you know, a small number considering there are 53 of them in the Senate, but while they're not voting to remove him from office, they're also defying Trump, who wants every Republican to say his behavior was perfect. So it's now a bipartisan judgment, a bipartisan stain on his integrity. Has he reacted to the growing Republican chorus, even if it's growing only to seven or eight senators?
I would just like to say, if I'm ever on trial, I want you on my jury, because you're being very generous to Republicans in the Senate. You are correct that the president does not like to be criticized. He continues to say that the phone call at issue here with the Ukrainian president was perfect. It is true that Republicans who have defied the president or criticized the president have sometimes paid a big price. We'll see if that happens in the future. We'll see also if this is something that President Trump talks about in his speech tonight. You know, the Republicans in the Senate very much hope he does not, that he talks about the economy, that he talks about plans for the year ahead and a second term, and not about impeachment. But I think we've seen that it is hard to constrain President Trump when he has a grievance that he wants to express.
And Trump says whatever he wants, regardless of the facts. We know that. But can he now campaign for re-election on having been totally exonerated, as his impulse would be to do?
I think he will. I think we've already heard the first strains of that song. Now, that's one reason we've had Nancy Pelosi, the speaker, among others, saying impeachment is forever. Even getting acquitted by the Senate does not remove the stain of impeachment. And I think that is something that the president probably found pretty annoying.
I guess, because it's there. But if people get accused of a crime and then acquitted, they're not guilty. I wonder if there's blowback against the Democrats for her, you know, continuing to push that line.
You know, so far, impeachment has been good politically for President Trump. He's done a lot of fundraising off impeachment. And we saw on the Gallup poll released about an hour ago, his highest approval rating of his presidency, up to 49% approval, 50% disapproval, 1% not sure. I'm not sure who that 1% is. But we've seen that the effect of impeachment has actually been, apparently, to improve the president's political standing.
The 1% undecided about how to feel about Trump, they just watch too much sports. Well, how's Nancy Pelosi feeling about all this? Any regrets that she launched this sort of instant, narrow impeachment when the Ukraine scandal broke in September, if this is how it's ending?
I would say that Nancy Pelosi is not a person who expressed a lot of regrets. She's a person who kind of charges ahead. A couple things are true. One is that she resisted impeachment for quite a while on the grounds that this is what would happen. It would be seen as a partisan impeachment. You wouldn't get Republican support. It could rebound to the president's benefit, ironically, to be impeached. I think that once the details of that July 25th phone call with the Ukrainian president came out, there was no holding back the Democratic caucus. Even the most moderate Democrats were coming out in support of impeachment. I have not interviewed her about this, but I suspect she feels like this was the right thing to do. And now let's move on to talk about other issues. I do not think she thinks this is a great issue for Democrats politically this year.
The Republican senators in blue or swing states are in an awkward position. But as you pointed out, a few Democrats in red states are too. Doug Jones in Alabama, Joe Manchin in West Virginia. Here's a clip of Joe Manchin on the Senate floor yesterday suggesting an additional vote after tomorrow's verdict to censure the president.
I see no path to the 67 votes required to impeach President Trump, and haven't since this trial started. However, I do believe a bipartisan majority of this body would vote to censure President Trump for his actions in this manner. Censure would allow this body to unite across party lines and, as an equal branch of government, to formally denounce the president's actions and hold him accountable. His behavior cannot go unchecked by the Senate, and censure would allow a bipartisan statement condemning his unacceptable behavior in the strongest terms. I am truly struggling with this decision and will come to a conclusion reluctantly, as voting whether or not to remove a sitting president is the most consequential decision that I or any U.S. senator will ever face.
Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia. I think Mitch McConnell could single-handedly block even a debate on censure. But Lisa Murkowski, and here she is again, Republican from Alaska, seems open at least in theory to that idea.
The response to the president's behavior is not to disenfranchise nearly 63 million Americans and remove him from the ballot. The House could have pursued censure and not immediately jumped to the remedy of last resort.
So, Susan, I guess the difference there is Manchin wants to bring it up later this week. She's just chastising the House for not having done that first.
Well, you know, censure is not the constitutional remedy if you believe a president has abused power. Impeachment is the constitutional remedy. So that's the one the House pursued. You see some senators on both sides talking about the idea of censure. Senator Durbin from Illinois, the number two Democrat in the Senate, this morning said censure was okay with him. But as he pointed out, what are the odds that Mitch McConnell will allow that to come up for debate and a vote? And I think the odds are extremely low because he doesn't have an interest in pursuing censure, and neither does President Trump.
One last thought. I know the Democrats worked long and hard to write what they considered just the right language for the articles of impeachment, but I wonder if they weren't too narrow. Like, if all Trump had done was this one dirty trick with Ukraine, I'm not sure it would have been a thing, as big a thing as it was, that it would have come to impeachment and trial. But they could have alleged that it was part of a pattern of degrading American democracy that maybe the Democrats could have found a term for, where he arguably has committed the moral equivalent of treason by selling out U.S. interests for Russian interests repeatedly in Europe, and the Mueller report documenting 10 different acts of obstruction to block that investigation over a period of 2 years, and he compromised national security by embracing Russia's denial of election hacking rather than his own director of national intelligence in every piece of evidence, and basically encouraged Russia to do it again by downplaying their unique threat. And he threatens democracy by alienating Democratic allies and embracing any dictator who'll embrace him. And like an autocrat, he threatens people, like saying Marie Yovanovitch is going to go through some things. Maybe it would have been too messy, Susan, but maybe it would have been more real than such a narrow focus on Trump-Ukraine. Am I the only one asking that question?
No. And in fact, and by the way, that was really eloquent. So
thank you.
That was the subject of some considerable debate in the House. There were Democrats after the Mueller report came out who very much wanted to launch impeachment on this kind of broad grounds and on the specific elements that were laid out in the Mueller report. But it didn't go anywhere. And I think that Nancy, this was under Nancy Pelosi's control to define the impeachment argument narrowly and do it as quickly as possible, because I think she thought that was the best shot to say, here we can show very clearly what the president did in withholding aid from Ukraine, appropriated money from Ukraine, in refusing to meet, to grant the Oval Office meeting that Ukraine so desperately wanted, because he wanted them to investigate his political rival. And that was a makeable case that had the best shot of doing well. You know, the fact is, no one in the House thought President Trump was going to be convicted and removed from office. They knew they weren't going to get 20 Republican Senate votes that would be required to do that. So they went with a narrow case, and here we are.
And here we are. Susan Page, Washington Bureau Chief for USA Today. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, Brian.
Again, listeners, you can call and ask an impeachment news question. Just leave a voicemail anytime, including your name and where you're calling from, and some of you will hear your questions on the show. The number is 844-745-TALK. That's 844-745-TALK or 844-745-8255. Impeachment, a daily podcast, is excerpted from my live daily radio show, which we also invite you to listen to. It's The Brian Lehrer Show, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, streaming live then at WNYC.org. See you tomorrow.